So today's message, I want to declare passing down God's goodness, passing down God's goodness. There's a prayer I wrote out. Could we just look at that? And I want to invite you, if you would pray this prayer with me. Can we do that? Now, I won't say a line and you repeat. We'll just say it together, okay? Let's pray it. Say, Father God, to know you is eternal life. You sent Jesus to restore us to you, that we would know how much you cherish us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your all to help us cleanse our hearts and adopt us into your family. We want to know you more than ever and partner with you in this life. Help us express your love to this next generation. Amen. When I was a teenager, I got a summer job for 2 summers in a row, and I was working for the Pepsi Cola Company. It wasn't far from my house. I drove over there, and there was an older gentleman, and I worked for him. His name was Marvin. He was so kind. He was so loving. He was just a supportive old guy. And he would tell me these I wasn't saved. I didn't know the Lord, you know. And he would tell me these unusual stories about God's glory, and he would tell me dreams he's had, you know, about Jesus coming back. And I would just listen, and I just thought he was just a kind person, and we enjoyed and laughed together. I just listened. He never asked me to, receive Jesus, to give my life to Jesus. He just planted these seeds and watered them about God's goodness. He just kept doing that. And being around him was just a refreshing. And then later, an evangelist came to our town. But because I went to church, I assumed that I was told that I was a Christian because I went to a church. And so therefore, I assumed that I would go to heaven. But I came to realize, hearing the evangelist, and that I didn't actually know the Lord personally. And that's a whole nother story. It's a very powerful story of how I came to know the Lord. But I did come to know the Lord in a very personal way. And then later, I heard a preacher. And the preacher was preaching, and he said, if you gave your life to Jesus, somebody prayed for you. And I was like, that kind of, you know, have you ever hear somebody talking and something, one thing kind of comes out at you? And it was like, somebody prayed for me. And I said, Lord, who prayed for me that I would come to know you? And just like that, Lord said, Marvin Flippin. Marvin prayed for me. He prayed for me. I would be on that truck, and he was just asking the Lord for my soul, asking, Lord, save Roger. Help him come into the awareness of who you are. I'm going to sow these seeds. Well, one day, at my brother's house, there was a bunch of people celebrating somebody's birthday, and Marvin was there. And I told Marvin this story. I said, Marvin, I asked the Lord, who prayed for me to come to know Jesus? And he said, the Lord said, Marvin Flippin. And when I said that, Marvin, he just had a radiant face with a beautiful smile. And he smiled from ear to ear with a humble expression on his face. Just like you would imagine a kind, saintly guy. And I came to know Jesus because he prayed for me. So if you've experienced the goodness of God in your life, someone may have helped you receive it by praying for you and sharing God's goodness with you. Someone who is walking with the Lord may have partnered with the Lord in some way to help you receive. They may have just lived a life honoring God before you, and that got you to thinking. They may have intentionally shared their testimony of knowing Jesus with you. But here's the truth of the matter. Jesus said it. John 6:44 says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No one comes to Jesus except the Father draws the person. And he's out there doing that, and he involves us into the plan. And I end up, you end up in places sharing things with people. You don't even know how you got there. My joke was always, I felt like Mr. Magoo. You know, remember Mr. Magoo? Mr. Magoo would end up in the right place at the right time. He had no idea how he got there. it just befuddled, you know, but he'd show up. And you'd be there, and next thing you know, I wasn't that great of a planner, but I'd sure end up in places saying stuff, and it was wonderful. So whenever someone is communicating the love of the Father through Jesus, it's the work of the Holy Spirit within this communication that the Father is using to draw a person to the Lord. There's a verse that's very important to understand about the character of God. Romans 2:4. This is really important. It says, "Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience?" Look at this next line. "Not knowing that that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance." It's the kindness. I've heard people do this thing where they say, well, before you get somebody saved, you got to get them really lost. I don't know if I agree with that. Because you're not supposed to carry the spirit of condemnation and beat somebody down. It's the kindness of God. It's the kindness of God. How many of you have been really blessed by somebody telling you what your sins are? Has that been a blessing? Or no. No, that's not your job. Your job is to express the heart of the Lord. Guess whose job it is to convict of sin? It's somebody who a lot better than you are at it, the Holy Spirit. So I'm bringing this about, talking about this, because we're leading to this idea of passing it down. This is Psalm 145, 4 and 5, verse 4. Read this with me. "One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts." One generation shall commend, praise, recommend them, talk about the mighty works of God. This is David talking about this. And there was a primary way, the way that it was a family passed down from in the families. The primary way that God's goodness was passed down is through the family. In Deuteronomy 6, next slide, it says, 6, 4, and 7, says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts." Now look at this verse 7. Look at this. Let's read it. Ready? "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." This was the primary way that you passed down the testimony of God's goodness, his ways, his wisdom. It's just walking in life. And this has always been the pattern. But unfortunately, we have seen that the family unit has been broken apart, and you can lose the grasp of understanding the goodness of God in just one generation. People can veer off, which we see this in the Old Testament, where you hear it rises up, and then the next generation, and God brings a prophet, and they repent and come back. And this, we're in this time right now. I wanted to say, I've been watching these news articles where there's a ministry that has been in, I believe it's Georgia, and they've gone to one college. They had the first one. They have 5,000 students, and they preached the gospel, and there was the Spirit of God moving. And because, look, the next generation, it touches me very deeply. I talk about this because I came to the Lord in that setting. In fact, the early days, we came when we were teenagers. And it was either high school or early college. Those days, there was a move of the Spirit in our land. And we responded to it. And he's moving again. One report was 5,000 people, 200 baptized in water. A lot of them saved. I don't know how many. The next college, 4,500. 300 came to the Lord and were baptized. The next college, you went to 10,000. This is just in the South. So there's a move of the Spirit happening. And kids are, you know, there's a lot of pressure and depression and anxiety and all kinds of entanglements in the world and sexual problems and all kind of stuff going on. And because it can be lost, I just think it's really interesting. In Jude chapter one. Listen to this. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you. Everybody say contend. To contend earnestly for the faith. Contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. And it says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So there's this word contend. I have the definition up here. It means to, this word in the Greek language simply means to struggle for. So he's saying, we can lose everything if we don't struggle for what we have. And so I thought, well, I'm going to look up scriptures on that. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. Let's read these. Ready? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 2 Timothy 4:7. This is Paul at the end of his life. Oh, did you go to the next? Yeah. What was the first one? There you go. Did I have them backwards? Okay. Did we actually read this or not? Let's read this. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now go back to that one. Here we go. This is Paul. He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Next one. I believe we're back on track with the one out here ago. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. And then we have 1 Corinthians 9:25. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. I believe I have one more verse on this. Philippians 1:27-28. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, here it is, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. In other words, you being fearless scares the devil. So here's the words we're looking at for contend. The next slide. Contend for the faith. Fight for the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight. Lay hold. This is the contending, the struggling for. Lay hold on eternal life. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. Exercise self-control. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving for the faith of the gospel. So here, the next slide. So why are we to contend for the faith? We can't pass down what we have lost. Barnum research revealed 80% of professing Christians don't even agree with the basics of the Bible. I guess a Christian's in name, but not in true biblical faith. And we were talking, I think it's 3% actually teach biblical doctrine, what's right and what's wrong according. Isn't that something? So people let, you know, do whatever they want and just label Christian on it. Jesus said it this way, Mark 4:21-25. And he said, is a lamp not brought to be put under a basket? Or is it under a bed? Is it not brought to be to put on a lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything been secret that it would come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Now this is the main part I want you to grab here, verse 24 and 25. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. and more will be given you besides. But whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. I have experienced this. I have pressed in when I didn't feel like it. I have gone through spiritual battles, they call them. I have grown up. I have contended in my own personal life not to go the way of the world. I'm not a condemning person. I love people who are struggling. I don't condemn. I don't judge best I know how. I just go ahead and lovingly support because I was messed up. If I hadn't come to know Jesus when I did, I don't think I would be alive today. I owe everything to Him. Everything. So I'm sold out. You can't shake me off of, there's no way. It doesn't matter what would happen. Jesus even talked about this, not going back. By the way, wait a minute. Back up. One slide. Just leave it right there for a minute, and I'll bring in these others. Without being critical, without being just observational, are you aware of people who seem to have been on fire and walking with God at one time and are no longer? See, that's what the Bible's put. Even what you have is taken away. It's the measure you use is measured back to you. It's like, sometimes I'm so befuddled by it. Like, I knew you. I thought you were passionate pursuer of, I thought, didn't he do these wonderful things in you? And now you walk away from this? Him? What's so appealing to you? And Jesus actually said, remember Lot's wife? Jesus, one of those short verses like Jesus wept, remember Lot's wife? What was that about? That's about somebody having a heart for the world and then getting rescued out of that, comes out of that, and then turns around and turns into a pillar of salt. There are people who walked with, who, they were in the process of getting rescued and then they just turn into like real hard-hearted people. That happens. Well, here's one. Jesus said, well, what does it benefit to gain the whole world and all of its pleasures and forfeit your own soul? Or here's one, the Luke 9:62 Amplified. But Jesus said to me, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. How many of you have had needed encouragement because you've gotten so discouraged you weren't sure where you're going to end up at some point? See, that's why we encourage one another. How many have gone through some like moments where I'm not certain how this is going to work out? But then somebody comes along and they remind you of the goodness of God. Right? Let's go ahead and say, thank God for those moments. I'm going to put up some other slides here. What does the gospel of Jesus Christ bring to us? Through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the debt of our sin payment has been paid in full by the blood of Jesus at the cross. The Holy Spirit indwells us, giving us new life in Christ. We're eternally alive in Him. Okay, next. Jesus overthrows the grip of sin and idolatry that burdens the soul with condemnation, oppression, and anxiety. Has anybody here experienced any of that? Has the Lord done this for you? Jesus pours into our hearts the love of Father God, revealing to us that we belong to the One who loves us like no other one can or will. Next slide. Jesus restores our worth and value to Him and pours into us the joy of our life's calling in Him. How many of you remember when Peter denied knowing Jesus? It's really quite, quite an amazing study. I've jumped into it pretty deep here recently. After swearing that he would never walk away, based on his own pride and self-ability, he found out he didn't have what it takes. And just a little slave girl says, "Hey, aren't you one of those Galileans?" "No." Another little girl, servant girl, he starts saying these words, "I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him." Then he goes into this whole cursing of himself. The word for curse there means to call down. He got so upset with himself, he damned himself, basically. He beat himself up emotionally. And then decided, "I'm not cut out for this, and I'm leaving." And he left. "And I'm going fishing. I'm going to go back to what I used to do. At least I know how to do that." He wasn't really good at that either. So he's going back there, and he's back there fishing, and he's out there, you know. And Jesus appears on the shore. It's like hey, remember the last time they weren't catching it? They've been up all night, hadn't caught any fish. And this voice comes from the shore, "Cast your nets on the other side." Oh, where did we hear this before? This was when they brought in so many fish, Peter shows up on the shore and says, "I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of..." He pours out the fact that this miracle has such an effect in him, and now he's gone back to that because of his self-discouragement and self-pronounced curse over his own life. And Jesus comes to him. He denies Jesus 3 times. Jesus is going to ask him 3 questions over and over to break the curse. But this is the beautiful thing about it. When he says, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" What's the more than these? It's a bunch of fish. Peter said, "I can't do the discipleship thing anymore. I'm done. I'm going to go back to fishing." He goes back. Jesus, with wisdom, says, "Simon," doesn't call him Peter. Peter's the name Jesus gave him. He calls him Simon. He comes back to that place of discouragement, the level of discouragement that Peter's at. He comes back to that level, and he says, "Do you love me more than these?" What's the more than these? It's the fishing. Son of John, his dad was a fisherman. Simon, son of John. This whole fishing thing. "Do you love me dearly more than these?" And Peter responds back. He doesn't say, "Yes, I love you dearly." He uses another word. He doesn't use agapeo. He uses the word phileo. He says, basically, "I approve of you, Jesus, and I will treat you with affection." Jesus said, "Do you love me dearly?" He put space between them. "I'll do the best I can because I've already failed so greatly. I don't think I can do this. But I approve of..." I don't think I can pull it off. Are you there? Have anybody been so discouraged in yourself that you have to be at this place? Guess what Jesus does? When he says, "I approve of you and I'll treat you with affection," Jesus sows a little bit of vision into him. He says, "Feed my lambs." You know what a lamb is. "Feed my lambs. Tend to the little ones." Guess what Peter's ultimate vision had been for his life? He wanted to shepherd God's people exactly the way Jesus did. And he got devastated by his failure. So great was his failure that he gave up being a shepherd like Jesus. And Jesus says, a little shepherd idea. "Feed my lambs." And something sparks in there. He's beginning to sow vision into a discouraged heart to turn him back around. Then Jesus says it again. He says, "Do you love me dearly?" Now we've got the fisherman going back to fishing's off the table now. He just looks right at him. "Simon, do you dearly love me?" you know I approve of you and that I will treat you with affection. And Jesus receives that and he says, he goes up a notch. He goes, tend my sheep. That's different than feeding the lambs, isn't it? Tending the sheep is another level. He's actually saying, go ahead at this level of affection that I've given you, that you're showing me, that you're expressing to me, and share with other people that I will meet them where they are. That I'll come into their life and meet them at the same level of their need as I am yours. Does that work? And something comes up inside of Peter. And then Jesus, wisdom, he says, Peter, he says, Simon, do you approve of me? And will you treat me with affection? He uses his word now. How many of you have been so discouraged with yourself, and yet the Lord meets you where your heart is? How many have beat yourself up before? The Lord is relentless at getting to you at the level you can receive. Isn't it amazing? Where you have disqualified yourself, and he comes right to that place where you've disqualified yourself, and he says, hey, look, with the level you believe you can manage, how about let's go ahead and try right there? He goes, you know all things. You know that I approve of you. You know all things, Lord. And then he says, feed my sheep. He ups it again. He's broken the curse and he's cast vision. How many of you found that when Jesus is delivering you from something, he's also showing you what you're going to become at the same time? The genius of the Lord. He takes away the bad. You got the best of me. You took the worst from me. He gets you there. Let's go ahead and just praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so deeply. You cherish us so deeply. I pray for every heart here that has been bruised, damaged, and hindered by self-condemnation, that you would just lift that from them now. In the name of Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. To me, Jesus, and this has been kind of a growing thing over the years, to me, Jesus is irresistible. When you truly get to know him, your heart is smitten. He is not religion or rules. He does not condemn or shame us ever. When Father God and Jesus are sitting around the throne, you know, talking about your life, guess what doesn't come up? Your failures. They never talk about your failures. They never talk about your sins. They never talk about your struggle. They're just thinking of who you are. Once you really step into the fullness of knowing how deeply cherished you are, you're going to change. Oh, you're going to change. You're going to change. That's what he's into. Can you believe that? He's the kindest person you'll ever know. You'll learn that he delights in you and always contends for your best. Go ahead. Jesus did not shame me. He took away my shame. Jesus did not condemn me. He lifted the burden from my soul. Jesus did not hold my sins against me. He took them upon himself and freed me from their power. His goal is that we grow into his likeness and be as generous as he is. Next one. Remember that Jesus is not preoccupied with your sin and failure. You may be, but he is not. Does this help anybody? He is preoccupied with wanting your heart to be his. He is more concerned about you having a heart-to-heart relationship with him. Let's go ahead and say, yay, Jesus. Next slide. To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I have one more scripture here, and then I want to tell you a little story, and then we'll be done. Next slide. So this is the goal. The big point of this one is these words, bringing many children to glory. It became him from whom all things, through whom all things, in bringing many children or many sons many daughters to glory, to make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So Jesus is here to help populate heaven with you and me. Now let's go ahead and there's some pictures I'm going to look at real quick and we'll finish up. I want to talk about Hezekiah just for a minute. Hezekiah was a great guy. He had gone through some... The Sennacherib came down and just wiped him out, and it was going to tear him up and destroy the city and all this stuff. And he gets down, spreads all these plans and purposes of the adversary, prays. God does this great work, destroys the enemy. This big angel comes down, and all these people, you know, it's a great victory. This is one thing that happens. So he prays. Go to the next slide. He prays, and it turns everything around. Next slide. Then... there's a point where he gets sick. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amaz, came to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, you're going to die. You know, you will not recover." Next slide. So what happens is, he prays. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, prayed to the Lord, "Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully with my whole heart, devotion, and done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah bitterly wept. Next slide. So it says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to add 15 years to your life. I'll deliver you in the city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for your sake, for my servant David's sake. So he wins that battle. Next slide. Then a bunch of guys from Babylon come, and instead of giving thanks to the Lord, it's because they found out he got better. Instead of doing that, he shows him all of his wealth. Pride rises up. Next slide. So the Lord sends Isaiah and says, "Hey, look, here is the word of the Lord. Days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your ancestors have stored up until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. Some of your sons who are born to you shall be taken away. They shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Next slide. Now, this is somebody who didn't give a rip, right? Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord you have spoken to me is good." For he thought, "Why not? If there will be peace and security in my days." As long as I'm okay, I don't care about my kids. He's the polar opposite of what the Lord desires us to be. Those who contend for the faith and pass down. I have a sense right now. Just go close your eyes, okay? I have a sense. And Pat, this is true for you. Testimony of the Lord is in you. The testimony of the Lord is in us. The testimony of the Lord is inside of you. And by the way, I'm going to have Lori, you're going to stand here in a minute. We're going to pray over you. But the testimony of the Lord, this is what I feel. The testimony of the Lord is in your heart. The Lord has done so many good things. And the Lord says, "I want you to pass that down. I want you to take what I put in you and make it known. I want you to declare the mighty works of God. I want you to be available to speak and act and do those things in partnership with the Lord that help others come into the kindness, understand the goodness, the kindness of God in your life." First of all, let's just praise the Lord for a second here. He's here. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for that. I believe that some of you, you know, just it's the Lord doing it. I'm not trying to get you to go out and stand on a soapbox and preach on the corner. In your regular life, there are things inside of us that are so meaningful to others if we let them know about it. If we'll bear the testimony of the goodness of God to another person. Are you with me? We can do that. And today, there are so many people struggling with anxiety, with depression, with all kinds of things that are hard. And you are a voice of encouragement. You can be a voice that would lift that person up. Let's go ahead and stand together just for a minute. And yes, come on up here, Lori. Just if you would mind turn around there. Lori's ministry is the next generation. And there's a faithfulness. I'm just blown away at how incredibly faithful. The Lord's going to encourage you right now, Lori. I feel the Lord. This role that she's in she has expectations that are not met pretty regularly. Would you extend your hands toward her? A refreshing of the Lord is going to come upon you, because the Lord wants to lift all of the supposed disappointments from your heart, you know? Would you do that? Would you allow Him to do that? She has stepped into many places in many young people's lives where some come through and many don't. But she's sowing seeds and watering. And the Lord has given increase and blessed. And there's a weight, a pressure, a work of hell that has come against you of recent date that has been sent to discourage you. And the Lord is confronting that now for you with our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Lift this work of pressure, because she has chosen to submit to God and resist the devil consistently, over and over and over. She has laid her soul out there for your purpose, and we praise you for this. In the name of Jesus, everything that has been a weight against her mind, against her emotions, to discombobulate her, in the name of Jesus, be gone from her. Let her have a new clothing of humility and the clothing of the Lord and the empowerment. A fresh empowerment, intimacy with God in a way that's deeper and more abiding than she's ever known. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, guys, just pray in the Spirit over her. Just do that for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Passing down to the next generation, the prophetic is really strong in your life, but the devil wanted to shut it up. We're just going to say, in Jesus' name, throw gas on it. You know what I mean? Just throw a fresh fire on you in the name of Jesus. Make it effortless that you see what's going on inside of people and declare it and watch them come alive. We praise you for this, Lord. We thank you for that. And anybody in the room that feels quickened by any of the words I'm saying, go ahead and say, I receive that for me, Lord. I receive the fire and the quickening work of the Lord, when I speak to someone in the name of Jesus. Let's praise Him now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.